Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Leah Thomas pulling away over the final 150 meters. Had to work for it. She was pushed over the first 350 meters. Thomas wins the NCAA championship. Ended up very close for second, with Wyatt taking it ahead of a late charge from Erica Sullivan in third.
That is a play-by-play call of the 500 freestyle final at the 2022 NCAA Swimming Championships. Female pronoun, female name. It was not a female swimming. And Leah Thomas, who is not a female, took this title. Well, some people say it's a new era in women's sports. It certainly is, for good or for ill. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon, the 21st of March. We're going to talk about the first transathlete to win an NCAA swimming title with Beth Stelzer of Save Women's Sports. And then we'll be discussing the Great Resignation. Joshua Pauling has written a column for Modern Reformation titled Echoes of Eden, The Great Resignation and Turning Homeward. Joining us to discuss the first transathlete to win an NCAA swimming title, Beth Stelzer, founder of Save Women's Sports. Beth, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity, Todd. And I'd like to point out that was the first NCAA Division I title that a man has stolen from women.
Why did you travel to Atlanta down to the Macaulay Aquatic Center for the swimming championships?
Because I'm doing what's right. We all know what's going on here. And I once had my meet protested because a man wanted to compete as a woman. That's what kind of threw me into this. And I knew I had to be there to help show those girls I was there for a voice for them, because they've been bullied into silence in this toxic environment of cancel culture.
What kind of reaction did you receive from the presence of your organization, Save Women's Sports, there in Atlanta?
It was very positive. It was overwhelmingly positive, I would say. It was really good for me to be down there. It helped recharge my batteries. It was so fun to watch support evolve. The parents seemed a little skittish at first. And while we were there for the 3 days, we could just see them going from, you know, small little thumbs up as they were walking out, kind of, to big high fives and throwing their hands in the air and chanting our names with us. And it was really great. And I think that what we came down there to do, we accomplished and then some. We're making it more safe for people to be able to speak out.
Give us some of the history of men encroaching on women's sports.
On SaveWomensSports.com, we've compiled over 100 males that have taken titles from women in the last couple of years, and that's from high school all the way up into we're seeing it in the Olympics. It's just going to be a floodgate that we need to close. We have to stop this now. It's already too late. In my opinion, and in most of the people that are on my team and most of the people that agree with us with this public opinion, one girl losing out is too many, is it not, Todd?
The NCAA rewrote its eligibility policy for transgender athletes. Tell us what they did there.
They basically passed the buck. They're avoiding responsibility. They were being cowardly. And this new quote policy, all it does is say that underlying organizations for each sport can decide their own policy. So there basically is no policy to protect women.
I would like you to make the case for the segregation of sports, male and female. Why is that a good thing?
We all know that males have a physical advantage in an extreme majority of all physical interactions. Sports, it's simple. I mean, in powerlifting, men can outlift women by double at least. And in my opinion, it shouldn't even be about our bodies or our difference. We're women saying no, and that should be enough. But we all know that if we don't have separate men's sports and women's sports, we're going to evolve to men's sports, co-ed sports, and soon it's just going to be men's sports because only men can rise to the cream of the crop. When you take the best female and the best male of basically any physical sport in the same size, training capacity, the male will outcompete the female. We've seen this since we were kids on the playground doing push-ups and pull-ups together.
You mentioned earlier an attempt on the part for a male to encroach upon your sport, amateur powerlifting. Tell us that story.
Well, I am just an average mom. I consider myself, I have this hobby of powerlifting, and I worked really hard to join the 2019 Women's Minnesota State Championships for USA Powerlifting. And they created rules to protect female athletes because basically allowing these males to compete would be no different than letting in someone who is using steroids or doping. And we're a very strict drug-tested federation. And this person very, very disruptively protests the entire event. And it really threw me down a rabbit hole. I had no idea this sort of thing was going on. And after that happened to me, I just couldn't sit back and not do anything. I had to start speaking up. And then when I got death threats and harassment, I just was like, wow, this cancel culture is amazing. And if more women had the nerve to stand up, we would all realize that they can't cancel us all and they'd have to start listening to us.
This morning, Twitter suspended the account of Virginia Tech swimmer Rika Gyorgy. Why did this happen and what is your reaction to that?
I'm glad it's helping raise awareness. However, we haven't been able to confirm that that is actually her account. So I don't really want to comment much on that until we can actually confirm that that was her account. It might have been an impersonation account. If so, I feel sorry for her, but also in a way it's great because it raises awareness. And that's a lot of the hurdles that we have been facing is that people just don't understand what's really going on here. And one girl losing one title is too many, let alone losing out on these opportunities for scholarships. And there are now records that are set by males, female records, in the record books. And there's no asterisk by those names to tell future generations of girls that that was a male that set that record.
What are you hearing from parents and from the young athletes themselves on this issue?
They're very thankful that my group exists and is brave enough to speak up. And the action that we took in Atlanta has really been making waves and encouraged them to start speaking up too. And it won't be long until this is just over. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Are you familiar with that tale?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm one of the first people to say, like, it's not like the emperor's naked. The emperor's wearing a swimming suit and competing in women's swimming. I'm just happen to be one of the first to start pointing it out.
How do you account for the relative silence of feminist leaders on the effects of transgender athletes in women's sports? We're not hearing much, just a little bit, but not much.
You know, it's kind of tiring to hear that because feminists have been screaming at the top of their lungs for years. It's that they have been silenced by cancel culture. Just as you have said, you know, Rika's account was supposedly canceled. There's suspended accounts, canceled accounts all the time. And when we don't have our accounts to talk, how do we get our word out there? I'm not claiming the title of feminist, but I'm saying just people in general like me who are speaking out against the erasure of women, we face a lot of hurdles to get our message out there. It's not that we're not talking, it's just that we're not being heard or we're not being brought to the table.
Some that say that to prevent transgender women from competing in women's sports is transphobic. I'm sure you've heard that. How do you respond?
Of course, I get called all sorts of names from transphobic to racist. It's pretty absurd because I know what I am. I'm not transphobic. I don't have this extreme fear of trans people. I have some trans friends. It's not a trans issue. This is a pro-woman issue.
Others say that the threat to women's sports is being overblown and sensationalized. In fact, I read a story, I think it even was an account of your visit to Atlanta, where the reporter gave a very definite impression that over the course of the days that you were there, the fervor over the threat to women's sports just kind of died down and no one cared anymore that Leah Thomas had taken this title.
I don't think that's true at all. If you look at all the other articles that there are about us and all the interviews that we've been doing, and now there are parents that have wrote a letter to the NCAA. It's what we set out to do. We're making waves and people are paying attention.
Is the issue of biological males competing in women's sports going to stop at the college level?
We're seeing it all over. I mean, the NCAA basically looked to the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, when it formed its policy. And the IOC's recent policy did the same thing, passed the buck to underlying organizations. So basically, they're not taking any responsibility to protect women. And we're not just talking about fair play on the field. These women are forced to share their normally sex-separated spaces, like locker rooms and bathrooms, with male bodies, and that's just not fair. Women like me who have been through abuse should have the right to not have to be around a male body. And unless you're someone like me, a woman, who has been through that abuse in the past, you just can't understand why that is so important to have that safety in our lives.
There have been some laws passed in some states to protect women's sports. What kind of legal steps need to be taken in order to keep women's sports, women's sports?
We absolutely need to draw the line. There are men's sports, there are women's sports, and it's separated by your biological sex and not your gender identity. Because simply put, it's not identities that play sports. That's a feeling. It's bodies that play sports, the reality. And the reality is, regardless of how you identify, God gave you the body you have that is either a man or a woman, right? And there's no change to that. No matter what medical interventions you have, there's no change to your body that can make you a man or a woman and change that biology. It's down to your chromosomes.
So you have no problem with Leah Thomas swimming as and competing
Absolutely
against
not.
Men?
We weren't protesting any certain individual. We didn't protest Isaac, who is a woman identifying as being a man, swimming in the women's. We don't care how you identify. It's the fact that it's the advantages you hold. And we should be supporting fair and safe sports for women and girls. And that does not include having male bodies.
How do the events that we've been discussing here amount to an erasure of women?
As I mentioned before, there's no asterisk in the record books. How many generations will it be until all the records are going to be set by men? Because sports are well driven by money. It won't be long until teams, coaches, organizations. We're already seeing full teams in cycling of men who are, quote, identifying as transgender women competing in women's sports. It won't be long until it is just men's sports. And this isn't just sports that we're seeing this issue. We're seeing male violent predators in prisons being held with women and then committing assaults against women. We're seeing men invading into rape crisis shelters that are supposed to be women only. Women no longer have sex separated spaces. And when we insert gender identity with biological sex and conflate the two, we're erasing what the definition of a woman is. And when we can't define what a woman is, how do we protect her?
One would hope that a coach who has spent an entire career working with young women in whatever sport it may be would want to protect those girls and future athletes there from the encroachment of men into female sports. What have you been hearing, if anything, from coaches?
Coaches are afraid to speak up because their jobs are on the line. This is a very toxic environment that these organizations have created. And most people are afraid not only just to be called names, but they have sponsorships, scholarships, their jobs on the line. But we have some great people like Coach Seth Houston at Rice that has recently started doing some interviews. And I think when more men like him are heard speaking up, more people will have the courage. We had former Olympic coach speaking out in a press conference on Thursday, calling out, where are the dads? Where are the dads here? Why aren't you protecting your daughters? Not just the coaches.
Speaking of that, if a parent said, look, I've got a girl who competes in volleyball in high school, and there's a boy who's tried out for the team and made the team, and it is very disruptive, what, or any other sport that may be individual sports or team sports, what would you advise that parent to say to the authorities at the school?
Start speaking up and stand your ground. And, you know, sometimes there is nothing you can do about it at that level. Then you have to step up another level. And that's why we're working on legislation across the United States on the state level to protect female athletes. I don't know if you're aware, but when Biden entered in office shortly after, on International Women's Day, he made an executive order that inserted gender identity into Title IX, which basically erased Title IX.
Beth Stelzer is founder of Save Women's Sports. You'll find a link to Save Women's Sports at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Todd.
When we return, we're going to talk about the Great Resignation. It's come along with a great relocation. People not just quitting their jobs and staying home, but educating and making money centered around the family. Josh Pauling will be our guest. La, 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 la. You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesztc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at siestakeyrentalgenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.